Welcome in to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of this podcast. And man, I want to thank you for checking out today's podcast episode. I also want to encourage you to visit thepursuitofmanliness.com. You can find this podcast episode, a catalog of 400 plus podcast episodes. You can check out the suggested reading tab, where there's a list of books that I would suggest you consider. You can read the most recent blog post, sign up for our email newsletter, and visit the gear store. There are two things I want to highlight in the gear store right now. The first is the registration for the next session of Tribe is currently open and will be open until Saturday, May 27th, 2023. Tribe is a six-month journey with men all across the United States and beyond. It is a journey of growing the same direction together, daily Bible reading, book reading, challenges, Zoom calls, etc. It is a community of men unlike anything you have been a part of. Make sure you secure your spot in the next session of Tribe, which will run June 1st until the end of November. Make sure you secure your spot today. I also want to encourage you to check out our fall men's retreat, which once again will be in Indianapolis, Indiana. Secure your spot, and while you're there, maybe invite a few other guys to come with you. It's encouraging to hear stories of men who have traveled maybe multiple states, some of them from outside the U.S., to come to Indianapolis to be a part of this men's retreat, to worship, grow, and build camaraderie together. Men, it's time for today's conversation.
I think my HOA, whatever those people are called, homeowners association, whatever I'm paying my money to every year, should give me a discount. Because when I attempt to record something in my garage, the neighbors come out of the woodwork to do lawn work. All of a sudden, it's mowing grasses and weed eating and trimming and edging and washing cars and drilling balls and skating. It's everything. So, that's the upside. That's the upside of doing a podcast in the garage. The downside is you put the door down, you'll sweat to death. So the door is up. We'll see what happens. We're in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20. And if you're looking for that dark water discount code this week, that's it. Exodus 20, all capital letters. You're going to want to keep paying attention if you're trying to track with that discount code, because I will not be going chapter by chapter too much longer. We're going to start moving into chunks until we probably get into the book of Joshua. That'll be the next time we'll go into chapter by chapter. After hearing a little bit, it's going to be chunks. And I'm thinking Leviticus and Numbers might just be one episode in and of themselves. It's too hard to try to communicate something, at least for me. I'm not skilled enough to communicate something through this format. In a teachable, digestible way. We're not using YouTube and stuff right now, where you could have, you know, a bunch of text on the screen or maps or images or anything of that nature. And so, again, this is still a podcast more than it is a teaching format. So, with all that said, we're in Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to try. Nope, I did my best. So, Exodus 20 is the Ten Commandments. My first go at recording this podcast, I started reading them 1 through 8. I'm not going to do that. The Ten Commandments, I'm going to summarize them this way. No other gods, no idols. Don't use the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Honor your mother and father. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't covet. Okay, so you're going to get them here in Exodus. You're going to get them again in Deuteronomy. But there's one commandment in particular that I'm going to focus on for this podcast. They're all equally important, I think. I've seen them broke down in different ways, but to me, this is a hinge commandment. There are hinge verses, hinge chapters, meaning this is the thing that kind of holds the first and the second together, if you will. So there's kind of a breakdown here. You have the first four commandments, which are really towards God, and the next six, which are really towards one another. But to me, it's commandment number 4, keep the Sabbath day holy, which is if you will, the hinge commandment. I think there's so much to keep the Sabbath day holy that on one side of it, you could say what really does help reinforce your relationship with God. On the other side of it, you say it really does put me in a much better place spiritually, physically, mentally, whatever, for the relationships with the one another's, the love God, love one another. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about the Sabbath right after he talks about, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, I'll give you a rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. And there, Jesus is going to explain later on that chapter God's intention for the Sabbath. It was a help unify us with God and with one another. Jesus' teaching, ultimately, the Sabbath is pointing to God, right? And so, to me, this is the one I'm going to focus on for the time we have together on this particular episode. With all that said, I think you could have two sides of the same coin when it comes to the Sabbath. You can have the legalistic side, that you say, it must be this day, it must be this way, it must be this behavior, it is from this time to this time. And if you go outside of those parameters, you've broken the Sabbath. If you journey past anything that is perceived as the guardrails for the Sabbath, you've broken it. You broke one of those commandments. You broke the commandment, if you will. Okay? I think you can go to the legalist side. And it's not hard to find people who are very legalistic about the Sabbath. Personally, I think we're far too slack on the Sabbath. When I have coached guys or counseled guys or mentored guys or discipled guys, I don't know if there was ever a time where I was talking through what's going on in their life, with their marriage, with their job, with their money, with their weight, with their children, with whatever. I can't think of a time that I ever asked them, so what does your Sabbath look like? Part of that, I think, is just because it's so common in the Christian world to take the other side of that coin. What's the other side of the Sabbath coin? To become very reticent about it. To be very blasé. A Sabbath is a very fluid term, right? I can Sabbath on the pontoon boat. I can Sabbath, at the Little League field. I can Sabbath in the deer stand. I can Sabbath on vacation, sitting in a chair on the beach. Like, those are my Sabbath days, and I don't really talk about it. I don't promote it. I don't do hashtag Sabbath or anything like that. You know, it's not something I talk about. It's just, whatever. I could Sabbath by taking a nap and watching, football on Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon, or I Sabbath by sitting on the deck, in the evening, and we gather around, we have a little fire. Like, yeah, I think all those things are true. I think all those things are true. All those things can be Sabbath gatherings. Here's what I want to caution you on either side of that fence. God knows your heart. And I find that when we feel like our spiritual life is unraveling a bit, when we don't have a lot of joy in the Lord, when we're not producing a lot of fruit in our life, when we don't have a lot of community in our life, when we feel like we're trying to get something back maybe that we had before, spiritually speaking, I feel like we tend to go to the legalist side. I'm going to go and I'm going to get as old school and as archaic and as orthodox and as, high church as possible. And that's great if that's your draw, if that's what helps you grow spiritually. And I think it's far too easy to go to the other side. You're in a small group with 5, 6, 7 other Little League dads, and they're missing group all the time, and they're missing church all the time because they're coaching 4 teams, and then we got travel ball, and then we got a tournament, and then we have this, that, the other, and whatever. Nobody's going to look at the other guy and say, man, you taking care of your Sabbath? You making sure you're good? No, we're not going to do that, because that's just part of our nature. That's part of our culture. I don't think that's an American thing. I think that's a global thing. We don't have that conversation with one another and ask, so how is your Sabbath? How are you doing with this? And I think that's what makes it so tricky. If you're committing adultery, it's usually pretty obvious. If you're committing murder, it's pretty obvious. If you've stolen something, it's pretty obvious. Now, Jesus, we know that he takes that to a different degree. And he says, if you've even done it in your heart, you've broken those things. You're like, man, even my heart? The point is, Jesus is showing us that in him, there is a new covenant, a new relationship with God through Jesus. But we want to make sure we're never in a position where we are cheapening that covenant. We never want to be in a position where we're taking advantage of mercy and grace. And I think that's, again, the other side, the more reticent side, the more I don't talk about it. It's just, you know, it's my thing. I'm private faith. I'm whatever. Here's the deal. Most guys are probably not incorporating the discipline of a Sabbath. And I get it. We've talked about it within our house. Hey, we need to make sure we're doing this. We run 100 miles an hour sometimes. Kids' activities, kids' school. My kids are working now, fully invested in our church. This is the first church we've been to ever that's had one service. And I still feel like, you know, in this season of life, because our kids are in a different season than they were when they're younger. When they're younger, they had to go wherever we told them to go. Now they kind of have their own schedules too, which is a little bit more challenging. But previous ministries, we would have four services a weekend. One on Saturday, three on Sunday. That's it. We're going all the time, right? Saturday about, you know, 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, somewhere in there. You start to think about church that night at 6 o'clock. Church didn't really get over for you till Sunday about 1 o'clock. So you're talking about a 24-hour window there where you're in church mode, pastoral mode, just to be at the building. It was hard to have a Sabbath. And then we wondered why there were times that we were sputtering or that we were trying to go away on an out-of-town trip and feeling like we're going on fumes. I don't know how many times we mentioned that. I feel like I'm on fumes. 12 more days, 10 more days, 3 more days. I got to get out of here. I just got to get out of here. I can't get out of here fast enough. Yeah, you got nothing left to give. There is only so much of yourself that you are able to give. And one thing you have to do if you are married is make sure you and your spouse are on the same page with this. You need to embrace there are certain seasons we're going to be busier than others. There are certain months we're going to be busier than others. There are certain times that we're going to have to go at a different speed, maybe different times. We're going to have to adjust our schedule. But if you don't incorporate a Sabbath, a rhythm in your life to Sabbath, to rest and reset, you will crash and burn. And again, when you crash and burn, you'll either go far to the legalist side or you'll go far to the other side where it's a private faith. I don't talk about it. Just leave me alone. Both those places are incredibly dangerous. The first one's very off-putting, right? When you're the legalist, you're a little bit more spiritual than anyone else. And you know a little bit more about this command or this instruction or this reason or this is why. And you love to impart that wisdom upon people who are like, just leave me alone. I'm trying to avoid you. I don't want to lecture. Then the other guys, he's so shallow in his faith that, you know, he can drown in an inch deep of water. There's just nothing there. If you don't learn to Sabbath, I'm not sure if you can get the other ones real well. Because the Sabbath reminds me that God is God and he is holy and he's above all. There will be no other gods. Yes, we can serve the God of the Little League. We can serve the God of our favorite team schedule. We can serve the God of, you know, being on the river. We can be, you know, we can serve the God of the hunting schedule, the fishing schedule. We can do that. And it happens all the time. You can do it for golf. You can do it for whatever. No other idols. No, I don't have any other idols. No, just everything is getting between you and what is supposed to be the bride of Christ. No, you're not mistreating the bride of Christ at all. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Well, I'm not taking his name in vain. No, but you're professing one thing, but you're projecting something different. You're professing that he is Lord, he is Savior, he's the authority of your life. But then you go, but when it comes to my schedule and my time, my finances, no, I'm kind of the authority on that. And then you go through the rest of the list. I'm saying, man, we need to take a strong look at how are we really keeping the Sabbath? What are we really doing with our week? Are we allowing any time at all? Because I know a lot of guys, you don't even have time to read the Bible for 15 minutes. Well, brother, if you ain't got time to read the Bible for 15 minutes, which I call baloney on it, you ain't got time to read the Bible for 15 minutes, I'm going to take a hard guess. You're not real good at keeping the Sabbath. You might be good at being lazy. You might be good at taking naps. But I don't know if that's, if God said, hey, take a day where you just sleep all day long. The point was, do something that was out of your rhythm of life, something that was different, but also something that reconnected your heart to His. And again, God doesn't operate in smoke and mirrors. You can buffalo a lot of people. You can buffalo your spouse, your kids, whoever, and be like, yeah, no, no, that's what I'm doing. No, no, that's what I'm trying to, you know, you can do the George Costanza and try to walk around, act like you're busy, try to be busier than what you are. You can try that if you want, and it's not going to work with God. So what we need to do is have a conversation and say, God, how is my heart when it comes to looking at my 7 days and finding a point where I stop, I rest, and I hit reset? And if I live in a house with other people, we're going to need to kind of agree on how this is going to work. We're going to need to agree on the how and the why. As I was getting ready to record this, I was thinking about the stories of the westward expansions, people trying to go west for a new life, opportunity, and obviously gold. They were after, get that gold, make money, we're going to live good. And what they would do is they would just drive their wagons and their people and everybody hard, hard, hard. But there were groups of people that would stop on the seventh day and they would rest. They would give their cattle a rest. They'd give their horses a rest, their people a rest, their wagons a rest. Everything got a rest on that particular day. What they did exactly, I don't know. I would say they probably had a form of church because the faith was different than it is today when it comes to, you know, just being more common. But it is said that those who did not do that, those who said, we don't got time to rest, we need to keep going, we got to grind, we got to get after it, they were the ones that didn't make it. They were the ones that the wagons actually gave out. They were the ones that the cattle died, the horses died, the people died. Why? Because we're built with a rhythm to rest. God has built a rhythm inside of all of us. That's why when calendars flip to different months, you start to expect different things when it comes to the weather, what's experienced, or what food is offered, or what we're going to do. You start to do that. That's why in the fall, we all kind of think like school supply time. Even if you don't have kids, you think, I should buy notebooks for a nickel or whatever. We're built to have a rhythm. And when that rhythm is out of whack, when it gets off sync, we need to hit reset. We need to take a pause and say, okay, let's stop here. Listen, your Sabbath rest is really not at the Little League field, even if you want to say it is. That's your excuse. That's you trying to double dip. It's my Sabbath. I'm in a camping chair. I get to eat goldfish crackers and watch my, you know, grandkid play softball, whatever. It's probably not a good Sabbath rest, okay? It's probably not taking a vacation and saying, okay, this week we're just going to rest. And that's good, but that's not really a Sabbath rest. The point of Sabbath, again, was it was rhythmic. It wasn't a command that you're supposed to just impose on other people. It wasn't something that we end up getting mired in legalism or a list of what you can do or can't do, right? The point was the ultimate Sabbath, especially when we see when Jesus comes, is fulfilled in Christ, who is our true rest. But there's a valid principle here that we don't want to miss. We set aside the Lord's Day to rest from our normal work and gather with the people of God for worship, instruction, fellowship, prayer. We talk about a lot. We want to leave here different than when we arrived. Otherwise, if we just arrive to stare at the bearded guy that's going to talk at us for 30 minutes, we are a group of people to be pitied. We might as well have gone somewhere else, done something else. And so when we look at this Sabbath call in our life, this hinge commandment of the 10, I want you to consider that. Have a conversation with the Lord about that. How am I doing when it comes to Sabbath rest? Have I been running and gunning it too hard, thinking if I just go a little bit longer? I love the fact that, you know, Chick-fil-A dominates all the fast food places and only open 6 out of 7 days. Here's the interesting thing about Chick-fil-A. They're really not concerned about the other restaurants. They do what they believe they should do. They do it incredibly well. And then on that seventh day, that Sunday, hey, employees, you got the day off. We'd love for you to go to church, but I know we can't tell you that because everybody gets their feelings, you know, all worked up. But hey, you're going to have a day off. And yet they still keep plugging along somehow, kicking out chicken. I think that's the approach we need to go with. I don't need to get caught up on what everyone else is doing. I need to understand and embrace the fact that Sabbath is good. It's given by to us from God, fulfilled through Jesus Christ, the ultimate rest. And when I do that, I think I'll be able to go a little bit longer, a little bit better. When I walk into Monday or whatever day, I'm going to be a little bit fresher because I didn't ignore the instruction God gave me. I didn't try to justify it in my 2023 intellect. I said, no, if God gave it to me as an instruction, I might want to heed that. I might want to pay attention to that. Amen. Appreciate y'all listening. Let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.
Once again, men, I want to thank you for checking out the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. If there were any links mentioned, make sure you check the show notes. You're going to see a list of links in the show notes that are easy to take you where you want to go. I also want to encourage you to check out The Herd. The Herd is simply a subscription to the Pursuit of Manliness where you get bonus audio content. You're invited to The Herd Zoom calls. And at the retreat, we have a couple opportunities for men in the herd to gather together. The men in the herd essentially support the pursuit of manliness. And I am incredibly grateful for men who have said, we believe in what you're doing and we want to be a part of it as well. Men, thanks for listening and let's keep pursuing biblical manliness.